Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Avodah Zarah is Ayin Aleph. We're approaching the end of the Masechta. We're also approaching Pesach. It happens to be a perfect day for Mechiras Chametz. Not that we're selling it today. but in terms of the daf. And you will see why I say that a little bit later on. We're on the Mishnah Ayin Amud Beis. The Mishnah begins Boleshes. Shenichnas Aleir. So you have the Boleshes coming into the city. Boleshes is a strange word. We've heard it elsewhere in Shas, but when I said we've heard it elsewhere in Shas, it's because it's quoting this Mishnah. So I don't know if there's another place in time where this word comes up in the Mishnayos and the Gemara. But if you take a look at Rashi on the Mishnah, Chayil al Shem shemechapsim bechotchim. So it's an army, says Rashi, and it's called an army as a result of the fact that mechapsim bechotchim, they're basically looking. They're looking for whatever they're looking for. Money, right? The secret police. So anyway, shemechapsim bechotchim. So karele boleshes kinem etargeminan veichapes uvalash. So Rashi, master targum, knew all of targum backwards forward. So he says, you know, you look in chumash, and of course veichapes when Lavan's searching. So the targum over here uses the word balash. Okay, so in other words, so it's an army that's coming through town and they're searching. So Balasha Shinichm Salayir Bishah Shalom Chavios Psucha Susurus Tumas Mutaros and Bishas Mukham Elevela Mutaros Lafishem Panala Nasech. So the Mishnah says that if it's depends on whether it's a Shah Shalom or Shas Mukham. During a Shah Shalom, so they're coming into town, they have time. So that's the worst scenario when they have time. So it's not something we want. So but when they have time on their hands and there's open barrels. So do they have time for Nisuch? Sure, they have time for Nisuch. So therefore, the open barrels are going to be awesome. Masha'inkin, if it's Shas Mechama, so, I'm sorry, but if it's a closed barrel, so the closed barrels are going to be mutter, they're not going to go through, even though it's peaceful, but they're not going to go through the trouble of opening up the barrel to do Nisuch. However, Shas Mechama, but if it's a time of war, so then Eilu ve'Eilu Mutaros, so then they're both going to be mutter because there simply is no time. So Ein Zman, Ein Panui, there's no time for the... For going through barrels, even if the barrels are open. The simplest pshat in the Mishnah is that we're talking about mamish, the barrels are mamish open. It doesn't take a lot of time for nisuch. But when we're talking about yesh zman, yein zman, whether there's time or there isn't time, it's not so much a function of, you know, whether, you know, there's time on the clock. It just simply means, you know, are they pressured or are they not pressured? So if they're not pressured, so they're going to take whatever short amount of time for nisuch it is for only on the open barrels. And if they're pressured, in other words, the shas mechama, so then we can assume that their attention is totally diverted. Okay, the Baam Tosfos on the Amud. So even if there are a lot of barrels, all the barrels are going to be Aser, and that goes against a little bit what we said yesterday. What we said yesterday is that if we find them opening up a ton of barrels, so we said yesterday they're looking for something, which means that they're probably looking for money. And even if we find a lot of barrels that are open, but the chances are that they're looking for money. At least that was the argument that the Gemara gave yesterday. So Tosfos points out that we're not going to give that argument in today's daf in this Mishnah. And if you look at the Baam Tosfos, he goes on to write, Mashma filo tuv of a lower mina daita de mona pisku kidar mina el gabe pomusu. V'ayinam yishum de pomusu b'ayim legavus mas ha-melech varnuna. So Tosfos says you have to look at the context. Meaning in yesterday's daf, we're talking about people who are collecting money. So when they're collecting money and they're opening up barrel after barrel, they're looking for the barrel with the money. So if they're looking for money, you can assume that if they open up the barrel and they see wine inside, okay, we're going to just move along. And that's why if they're opening up the barrel, they're looking just for money. All they see is wine, let's move on. But the army that's going through, they want to eat, they want to drink, they're looking for wine. So Tosha says, so yeah, that's the difference between this mission and what we learned in yesterday's daf. We're on the Gemara on the top of Ayin Aleph, I'm with Aleph, or Reminu, the Gemara says, Astira, Ir Shekavshua Karkom, Kol Kahano Shebe Socha Psulos. So the Mishnah, it's a really sad Mishnah. Mishnah talks about an army coming in through town. So all the women who are married to Kohanim, right, the Mishnah describes them as Kahanos. So all of them are going to be puzzled. They're all going to be disqualified. In other words, they're all going to be ushered to their husband. So it's sad. The halacha is that a woman who's married to a Kohen and she is violated, even though it's the Enabur of Sona, she's an Ones, she's an Anusa, but still the halacha is that she is she's ushered to her husband. So, and we have to assume, therefore, that all the women in the town are going to be ushered to the husband. The Gemara over there in Ksuvas, this Mishnah is in Ksuvas, the Gemara over there in Ksuvas qualifies. In other words, there has to be a certain couple of other circumstances that makes that will result in the conclusion that they were all violated. But anyway, but what the question is over here is that over there no such distinction is made between Shas Shalom, Shas Mechama, and presumably the Mishnah over there is arguing that even if it's Shas Mechama, so they'll make time. They don't have time, but they'll make time. So Amar of Mari, Lanasech Ein Panai, Lebol Yesh Panai. So the Gemara very quickly, but very powerfully, makes a distinction between what we'll make time for versus what we're not going to make time for. So for Nisach HaYayin, we're not going to make time for Nisach HaYayin, meaning for libation, for Avodah Zarah. So if it's available, fine. But if it's Livo, but if it's for the Yetzer Hara of Avera, for Arayos, so they'll make time for that. So even though it's a Shas Mechama, but they're going to make time for the Avera of Arayos. We up to the next mission. We're 9 Alpha Mid Aleph Ha'um Nimsha Yisrael Sheshach Lehem Ovi Kochav Mechavishal Yayin Nesech Bischaran. So let's say you have an Oman, you have a craftsman, and he does some work, he does it for a guy, and the guy's ready to pay, and the guy wants to pay in Yayin Nesech. So, Mutar Lomar, Tein Lanu Estameha, Mishenichnas Al Rishus Anasar. So, if let's say you didn't get the Yayin Nesech payment yet, so you could say to them, look, tell you what, what's it called? You're still going to owe me, you're still going to pay me, but don't pay me with the Yayin Nesech, pay me with money. In other words, and the understanding, of course, is that what the guy's going to have to do is he's going to have to take the Yayin Nesech, sell the Yayin Nesech, and isn't that the Jew getting benefit from the guy? So the Mishnah is obviously saying, no, it's not. In other words, you didn't yet get paid with the Yayin Nesech, so you're not now turning it over, converting it into money. On the other hand, the Mishnah points out, Mishnichnas al Rishusan Aser. But once the Yayin Nesech gets into your Rishus, so now it's your Yayin Nesech. Now you want to sell it. That means you're going to be getting benefit from it. And so at that point in time, it's going to be Aser. Rashi points out that this is very similar to what we learned about a week ago in the Daf. Took a look at the Rashi in the Mishnah. Rashi writes, "Look, you did a job for somebody. You don't have to get paid in Yayin Nesech, you have to get paid in something of value, money. So Vitanya El, we learned above, says Rashi, Yisrael Shenosha Ba'al V'Kochavim, Mane, Machar Avodas Kochavim, Mehevi Lo Yayin Nesech, Mehevi Lo Mutar. So, and you know that right now the guy has Yayin Nesech, and you know the only way he's going to be raising the funds necessary to pay back the loan is by selling the Yayin Nesech. So we said in the Gemara Samach Dalet that the lender can basically, I don't want to not look away, but the understanding is that he's got to pay you money. He owes you money. Okay, so he'll sell the Yayin Nesech to get you the money. You didn't ask him to sell the Yayin Nesech. In other words, you lent him money. He owes you money. So same thing over here. Meaning, if you did a job for somebody and he wants to sell you Yayin Nesech and you can basically refuse the Yayin Nesech, you know what he's going to do. He's going to turn around, sell the Yayin Nesech in order to get the money. Fine. But he doesn't owe you Yayin Nesech. He owes you money. Okay. The Gemara starts off, Amar Rav Yudah, Marav, Mutala Adam Lamar Lo V'Kochavim Seva Face Alai Manas HaMelech. Rav Yudah, Marav gives a very similar halacha to that of our Mishnah, and that is as follows. Let's say the king's coming around collecting taxes. Taxes over here are Nuna. Rashi describes this kind of tax. Take a look at the Rashi and the Gemara. Arnuna Shayunostim Mitzvuaseim Ve'umibeham Seim Iser. So, sounds pretty reasonable from where we live, but 10% tax. Says Rashi. But I'm sure there were other taxes as well. I'm sure this wasn't the only tax, but 10%. 10% from the crop, 10% from the animals. And if you saw Zeshachayv Lasseh Samelch Yayin, Mutalom Eloko Chavim Hafes Alai. Now, let's say the Jews in the wine business, and so the king's coming around, and now the king wants to collect from him, so now the Jew can turn to his non-Jewish neighbor and say, look, you know what? Could you front me? Could you pay up for me? Obviously, I'll pay you back. Now, you know what he's going to pay. He's going to pay using his wine, and his wine is Yayin Nesech. So, and what you're going to end up doing, explains Rashi, is that you're going to then pay him back. So, this is a funny construct, meaning you're basically asking your non-Jewish friend to front the Arnuna, to front the tax, but you also know that what he's going to end up being fronting is Yayin Nesech. In which, of course, you're going to pay him back. But Rashi goes on to explain. But explains Rashi, but over here it's fine. Why? Because even as the tax collector comes in, even though you are going to give him 10%, the 10% doesn't have to be the actual commodity itself. It doesn't have to be the wine, doesn't have to be the grain, doesn't have to be the animal. In other words, it's either that or its monetary equivalency. You can give its value. So Rashi explains over here, when you're asking the non-Jew to front for you, he doesn't have to front Yayin Esach. He could have fronted money. And so as a result of that, so therefore it didn't have to have been Yayin Esach. And so Rashi says it's similar to our Mishnah, and therefore it would have been okay. Meitzveh, we're back to the Gemara. The Gemara challenges. So we have a Braisa. The Braisa says that you can't instruct a non-Jew to basically put up the money for you, or put up the Yayin Esach for you, right? Ol tachti lotzar, right? Take my place. Meaning, right now they're coming around. I don't have any money, or whatever the case is. Right? You'll do it for me. So the Braisa says you can't say that. So Amalei Rav Ol tachti lotzar kamart. So Rav says you're asking me from that Braisa. Ha lav damya elalaha. Well, when Rav Yehuda is making his statement that a person is allowed to, it's more comparable to the following. Ava Omer lo maltenim in haotzer. Meaning, read on to the next case of the Braisa. Next case of the Braisa, maltenim in haotzer. Maltenim in haotzer means save me from the tax collector. Meaning he's coming around and do me a favor. Could you run a little bit of interference? Right? And under those circumstances, so you're not asking him specifically to put up Yayin Nesach, and you're not giving him instructions. He's not serving as your agent. Basically, what he's doing is he's as a friend, as a favor, he's going to put up the money for you. Didn't have to be Yayin Nesach. It could have been anything else. Okay, so he had to put up Yayin Nesach. Masha Enkein, in the first case of the Braisa, where you're giving him specific instructions, Ol Tachti La'otzar, Rashi says you're basically appointing him as a shliach. Now he's your agent. As he's your agent, and now he's going to be paying with the Yayin Esach, that's you, through agency, paying the taxes with the Yayin Esach, that you're not allowed to do. But in other words, but if you're just simply saying to him, here, do me a favor, he's coming around, could you run interference for me? Could you put yourself between him and me? So under those circumstances, it would be fine. He didn't have to give Yayin Esach, he could have just given money, and that would have been fine, even if he gave Yayin Esach. Hamocher yeinu lo'ovik kochavim pasak ashlo mada damav mutarim mada ashlo pasak damav vasurim. The Mishnah is on one hand really easy, on the other hand it's going to get really complicated. Here's where the Mishnah is really easy. The Mishnah's basic point is as follows. You want to sell wine to a non-Jew. Fine. Meaning you made the wine's kosher, it's perfectly fine. Here's the basic dilemma. When he now picks his wine up, so by him touching the actual wine itself, it's going to be Yayin Esach. So you're now going to be selling him wine which will be Yayin Esach. So the basic idea of the Mishnah, the simple idea of the Mishnah is, as long as the sale comes before he actually touches it, so you're good. Because, okay, so he's going to end up converting it to Yayin Esach. But that's not what you sold him. You sold him kosher wine. So, but if he touches it before the sale goes through, so now it's Yayin Esach as he's touching it. And now you can't sell it because then you're going to be getting benefit from Yayin Esach. So the simplest point the Mishnah is making is the following. And that is, make sure the sale comes before he handles the wine.
That's assuming the sale can be done without a kinyan.
No, well, the sale is the kinyan.
I mean, how is he has to do mishich or something?
Oh, that's where it gets complicated. Okay, so that is good. So that's where all this is now going to get complicated. When does exactly the kinyan occur? Okay, but before we get there, in other words, and we're going to get there, because that's where the Gemara is going. But before we get there, the idea is really simple. The idea is, sell it before he touches it, so then you're good. But if he touches it before you sell it, so then it's Yayin Esach, and you can't be getting benefit from Yayin Esach.
So 3 days ago, that land, only the land can be with Kesef. It has to be Mashiach.
Okay, so in other words, so we're talking about the sale of movables over here. So here's where it's going to get complicated. I'll give a quick introduction before we start with the Gemara. We know how transactions occur between Jew and Jew, meaning where the Gemara is we learned back in Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra. So we're very articulate and very clear in terms of how a sale transpires between one Jew and another Jew. If it's property, so it's Kesef Shev V'Chazaka. If it's movable, so generally it's Meshicha. Some movables are Hagbah, some movables are Mesira. But in other words, the basic idea is that it's a movable item, so I take the item and I draw it near to me. I say, I'm Moshech, that's Mashiach. So that's how transactions happen when it comes to Jew to Jew. There's a general discussion, Rav Yochanan, Reish Lakish, whether or not money is a means of acquisition. Now, even though they argue whether it works minatorah or does not work minatorah, everyone's in agreement, however, that even if it does work minatorah, the Chachamim blocked the sale, blocked the kinyan until you do the actual Mashiach. For reasons that we already explained at length back in the Bavas. But anyway, Mashiach. Let's, again, just try to keep everything simple. When transacting from one Jew to another Jew, the answer is going to be Mashiach. How about transaction between Jew and non-Jew? So how is that done? So as we're going to see in today's daf, it's a machlokas. Machlokas between the Amoraim, Amem and Ravash are going to be debating this very issue. How Mashiach is done. And based on their debate of how Mashiach is going to be accomplished, so eventually what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to go back and revisit our Mishnah and figure out how can you learn both of their opinions in our Mishnah. Okay? That's where the Gemara gets a little bit complicated in the course of today. In the meantime, however, let's just go back to the Mishnah. Let's just spell out the Mishnah. Mocher yayin lovik ochavim pasak ad shelo madad. So let's say you're a posek. Now posek over here means that you agree to price, right? With every sale. So there first has to be an understanding of how much is this going to cost. Meaning, even if I pick something up and look at it and I have no idea what its price is, that obviously is not Mashiach. Mashiach by its very definition means I want to buy it, but I'm only going to buy it if I understand how much I'm paying for it. So pasuk simply means we determine what the price is going to be. Anshul al-Madan means before it's measured. Now the Mishnah is not clear over here. Who's doing the measuring? Is he doing the measuring? Are you doing the measuring? What are we measuring into? His cup, your cup? That's where all the complexities of the Mishnah arise. In that we're not perfectly clear right now, even when learning the Mishnah, what exactly the circumstances are. But however, Pasuk Ashlo Madad, Dam of Mutarim. But the Mishnah is basically saying like this, is that Pasuk, you agree to the price, and there was no Medida, and presumably that means he didn't touch it yet, so then Dam of Mutarim, so then the money's going to be Mutar, because the sale occurred before he touched the wine. But if he's handling that wine, and you didn't agree to a price yet, so all of his touching of that wine now converts the wine into Yayin Esach. And so therefore, Dama Vusurim. So then when you sell the wine, you're selling Yayin Esach, and the money, the funds are going to be Asur, as that was in exchange for Yayin Esach. Okay. That's a simple way to read the Mishnah, but again, it's going to get more complicated, and let's begin. The Gemara starts off not analyzing our Mishnah, but just simply introducing us to the Machlokis Amoraim in terms of how kinyan is done with a guy. Amar Amemar. Mashiach above the Kochav Mekona. So Amemar says, you know how a kinyan is done with a guy? So it's done through Mashiach. Okay, in other words, according to Amemar, seemingly, it's no different than a Jew. Meaning, kinyan is done with a Jew. Again, we're talking about movables. We're talking about wine and movable items. So when it comes to a kinyan between Jew and Jew, it's Mashiach. So Amemar says the same thing with a guy as well. Teda. Now it seems over here that what he's doing is giving a proof, but it's interesting. The proof that he's offering is not based on psukim, brisas. The proof is based on, here's what I observe. Simple observation of what's happening in the world. Teda dani parsai mishavje pardashne lahadadiv lahadribahu. So I see that when the Persians are doing any kind of transaction, so they send items one from another, and they're never chozer. Meaning the moment that it's handed off from one person to another, so that seems to be the finality of the sale. The understanding that the sale now has been transacted. Okay. So is that the source of a Amemar, or is it just simply a Siman? Is it just simply a reflection of this, in fact, is the accepted halacha? But whatever the case is, Amemar says that kinyan is done through Mashiach. Rav Ashi amar la'olam em l'cha Mashiach ba v'kocha v'meinu kona. So Rav Ashi says no. Really, when it comes to a transaction between non-Jew and non-Jew, or Jew and non-Jew, or non-Jew and Jew, meaning an either side of the transaction, if a transaction is done, it's not done through Mashiach. V'hai de lo hadri behu de ramas ruchu hu de nakke lehu. So the Gemara says, as far as the Persians are concerned, don't let the Persian practice fool you. So they're arrogant people. The Gemara often refers to the Persians as an arrogant group. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that there were ten portions of arrogance that were given to the world. Nine of it went to Persia. So the Gemara often refers to them as an arrogant group. So the fact that they don't retract any sale after the Mashiach, that's just simply because they're so arrogant That, in other words, they said something, oh, what, I'm never going to go back on the word. Meaning, the arrogance over here kind of works out in their favor. Meaning, because they're always going to stick to what they say, and anytime they were, one person drew on the item, he was kind of the item. But Rav Ashi says, but don't let that confuse you. That's not what the kinyan is. The kinyan is going to be money. So, Am Rav Ashi Manami Nalamida Amaluhu Rav Lahanu Sav Yusa. And Rav Ashi says, and look, I'll tell you how I know this. Because I know that Rav, when he spoke to the Jewish merchants, so he told them, Ki Kalisa Chamer Lovdi Kochavim Shakli Zuzim Inayu Vahadu Kailan Luhu. So here's what you do. First take the money, and then you pour the wine over for them. So, Ilo Nikita Bahadai Zuzay, Uzpinu Vahadu Shkilo Minayu. Because what happens if you don't take the money first is that what's going to end up happening is that they're going to take the wine. The wine is still yours because you didn't take money yet, and now it's Yai Nesach, and then when in fact you take the money, so what you're taking is in exchange for Yai Nesach. And so therefore Rav told all the Mochre Yai, he told all the wine sellers that what you have to do is that you have to first collect the money, and then give the wine over to the non-Jew, and this will avoid the problem of you getting money in exchange for Yai Nesach. Good. So the Gemara says now, this is Rav Ashi finishing his point. And if you think that Mashiach by Novi Kochavim is by itself going to be Kona, Midamashcha V'Kocham Kanya, and Yai Nesach Lo Havi Adonagave. So he says, so what's the problem? Meaning, if you are the wine seller selling the wine to the non-Jew, so the first thing he's going to do, he's not going to touch the wine. He's going to take the barrel. He's going to do mashiach on the barrel. That's a kinyan. And the yain esach doesn't happen until he puts his hand actually in the wine itself. So what's the issue? It's clear from Rav that the reason why Rav says first collect the money is so that the kinyan occurs, and then once the kinyan occurs, so then the yain esach is not converted until a later point in time. So the Gemara says, okay. Let me be clear about this. So where we are right now is Rav Ashi's position is that the way that an acquisition is done between Jew and non-Jew on either side of the transaction, seller or buyer. But if the way the transaction is done through money, and the way Rav Ashi knows this is because of Rav's advice over to the wine sellers, where he told them, don't sell wine until you first take the money. What the Gemara is now asking is that if you think Mashiach by itself is going to be Kona, so then we don't need Rav's advice. In other words, once they take the wine, that in of itself should work. So the Gemara says like this. So the Gemara says, look, if what ends up happening is that the Jew, in other words, when the Jew is selling wine, so remember we talked a number of different ways that wine could be sold. It could be sold together with the barrel, or if you're selling in smaller quantities, you're pouring the wine from a large barrel into a smaller container. Okay. So let's assume the latter. Let's say the wine's being poured from a large container into a smaller container. Whose container is it being poured into? So the Gemara says like this. So if the wine is being poured from the Jewish seller to the non-Jewish buyer, and it's being poured from a large container into a smaller container, but the smaller container right now belongs to the Jew, so then you're right. Then you're absolutely right. So then then you don't have to collect the money first, because the wine is not yet rendered Yain Esech, and even when he takes the barrel, the smaller barrel, it's still not rendered Yain Esech. It won't be rendered Yain Esech until he puts his hand physically into the wine itself. So the Gemara says, so that's fine. And you'd be right. But lo tzricha de kakayla v'ramel amana davik ochavim. So the Gemara says the case that Rav was dealing with is when the seller was pouring the wine from the large container into the non-Jew's smaller container. And now the problem is that when it goes into the smaller container, it's going to be rendered yain nesach immediately. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. Even here, we can further fine-tune this point. So sof kimata la avir demana kanya, and what the Gemara now is suggesting is the following. Well, look, even if it's being poured into his kli, let's go slowly through the pouring. Okay, so again, the wine belongs to the Jew. It's being poured from his container into a container of a non-Jew. So let's go slow. So now it's going into the airspace. It's being poured, and we're viewing it now going into the airspace of the non-Jewish container. So at that point in time, what the Gemara is now arguing is that is the kinyan. That's the kinyan. And when is it going to be rendered yayin esach? Only when it gets to the bottom of the barrel. Meaning what the Gemara is assuming is that at the bottom of the barrel, there are still trace amounts of yayin esach on the barrel, on the bottom of the barrel. And also, let's remind ourselves that when it comes to yayin esach, there is no bittel, right? It's oser b'mashu. So when it hits the bottom of the barrel, so it's going to be yayin esach. But what the Gemara is arguing right now is that when it hits the airspace of the barrel, that's where the kinyan is going to occur. Now, you have to wonder. We're all going to wonder together. How is that a kinyan? Meaning hitting the airspace of the barrel. Really interesting Rashi over here. Rashi writes, La'avir damana, de'ovi kochavim, kanyo ovi kochavim, behagba'ah. So Rashi writes over here that, as it goes into the airspace of the barrel, that is a kinyan, and Rashi describes it as a kinyan of hagba'ah. Now that's a really strange way to look at hagba'ah. Hagba'ah, generally speaking, is picking something up. So over here, it goes into the airspace of the barrel, and that's called a kinyan hagba'ah, just conceptually. It's really hard, it's hard to understand. Hard to picture how that's a hagba'ah. But I could help, I'm not saying I fully understand it. But I can help in suggesting that, and you'll see in the Gemara, that what the non-Jew is actually holding the barrel. So in other words, it's already in an elevated position. And now as the stream of wine is coming into the barrel, into the airspace of the barrel, so we know, in other words, simple gravity, we know it's going to hit the bottom of the barrel. So at that point in time, and the non-Jew has already picked up the barrel, it's already elevated off the ground, so maybe that's how the Gemara is viewing it as a kinyan hagba'ah, at least the way Rashi is describing it. Admittedly, that is a tough point to follow, but that's what the Gemara now is suggesting. And if the suggestion is correct, so then we're back to square one. Meaning, what are we worried about? We want the kinyan to occur before he actually converts it into yayin esach. So we have it, right? Meaning, the wine is being poured into his container. He'll be kohen at the time when it hits the airspace. And it won't be yayin esach until it hits the bottom of the barrel. So kinyan occurred before it actually turned into yayin esach. So shema mina nitzoch chibur. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe we can go back to a topic which we discussed earlier, and that is that when you have a flow, when you have a stream, is that going to now create a connection? So the Gemara says, lo. So the Gemara says, you know what? I'm going to give it to you. If the non-Jew is holding the barrel in his hand, and you're pouring it into his barrel, which is in his hands, so then you know what? Let's even argue that you're right. The kinyan occurs when it goes into the airspace, and it's not yayin esach until it hits the bottom of the barrel. So the Gemara says, L'tzricha de manach ara. So the Gemara says, we're talking about a case where you're pouring it into his barrel, the barrel's on the ground. Barrel's on the ground, you no longer have the kinyan hagba'ah. When is the kinyan occurring? So presumably when it hits the barrel. At that same time, it's also yayin esach. And so that's why Rav said to them, first collect the money. So the Gemara says, V'tikne le kelav. So the Gemara says, okay, but it's his kli, meaning isn't his kli going to be sufficient grounds for kinyan? By virtue of the fact that the wine is going to his kli, his keli should be kona. Now this takes us to another topic, which is a popular topic throughout Shas. We saw this back in the Bavas a lot. Shema mina kel shalokech b'rishus mocha lokana. Lokana lokech. So the Gemara says, so now, here's a scenario where I'm in one person's property, but I'm bringing my kelim into his property. And something goes into my kli, which is in someone else's property. Is that considered like I made a kinyan on that item? Again, this is a popular topic, an often discussed topic through the Bavas, and classically it's a machlokas. So you're telling me now that if the guy's kli is in the Jew's property, on the ground of the Jew's property, wine is being poured in, so you're telling me that the kli by itself is not going to be koneh. Isn't that at least an opinion, a viable opinion? So the Gemara says, "Lo olam emelcha kana." I'll tell you that the kli is kona. I'm sorry, kana lokech. V'hachah b'maiskin and kagon deika akavas yain apumei dekuz nasa dekama kama insechlei. So the Gemara says again another ukimta. We're talking about a scenario where I'm pouring wine into his barrel, and in order for the wine to get into this barrel, there's kind of like almost like a lip on the top. And I don't fully understand the structure, but in order for me to pour wine into his barrel, it first has to hit the lip of the barrel, and then it's going to go into the barrel. On the lip of the barrel is a little bit trace amounts of his yain nesach. And so that means to say that even before the wine goes into his barrel, so already it's now making contact with the wine, his wine on the lip of the barrel, therefore now it's yain nesach, even before it goes into the barrel. And even if you want to tell me that kelim shel lokeach are going to be kone, even if it's in the rishus mocher, the reason why it's a problem over here is because the wine is rendered yain nesach even before it goes into his barrel.
Even before the two wines touch?
No, in other words, the Gemara is giving an okimta now. The Gemara is just simply saying that there is trace amounts of his wine on the lip of his barrel, and before the wine gets into his barrel, it's going to make contact with that wine.
That would make sense because we're in a mikveh when the two waters.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Okay. So the Gemara gives such an ukimta, and based on that, the Gemara now is saying that in this scenario, again, assuming all these ukimtas, in such a scenario, there is no way for the Jew to be able to transfer his wine into the barrel of the non-Jew without it first becoming yain nesach. Therefore, the money that he's receiving now is going to be in exchange for yain nesach. You can't do that. So that's why Rav advised all the wine sellers, make sure to get paid first. When you get paid first, so then the transaction will occur before the wine turns into yain nesach. Gemara, one other hurdle the Gemara wants to jump, and that is Uchman de Lokir Rishim and Gamliel. So the Gemara says, now obviously this precludes itself from the opinion of Rishim and Gamliel. Rishim and Gamliel comes up in just a couple days from now on Daf Ayin Dalet. Rishim and Gamliel says that if there is a little bit of Yain Nesach, what you could do is you could be poda, you could redeem that value. So the Gemara says, Ibrahim Shem Gamliel Amar Yamakir Kulalov Di Kucham Chutz Midma Yain Nesach Shabo. So Rishim and Gamliel allows the sale to occur just simply with deduction of the actual Yain Nesach that's there. Midu Time El Rav Amar Rav Alachik Rav Shem Gamliel Chavis Bechavis Avalo Yain B'Yain. So the Gemara, as we're going to see in a couple of days from now in Daf Ayin Dalet, yes, it is in Shimon Gamliel's position, but remember, we are now, in the last 20 lines of Gemara, been explaining Rav, because Rav was telling the wine sellers. It happens to be that even as Rav adopts the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, that's only when you're selling multiple barrels, one of the barrels in the sale was Yain Nesach. Under those circumstances, you could just simply deduct the Yain Nesach barrel from the sale and throw that money to the Yam HaMelech. But when it comes to Yain B'Yain, if wines actually get mixed up, wine of Yain Nesach and wine of non-Yain Nesach gets mixed up together, so the whole thing becomes Aser. And according to Rav, even within the Sheet of Rishim and Gamliel, it's non-redeemable. The whole thing has to be forfeited. And so the Gemara says, so it's no problem here whatsoever. Okay. So where do we stand right now? So the Gemara started off a discussion, a really basic discussion, in terms of how to make a kinyan with a non-Jew. When it comes to Jew to Jew, the kinyan by movables was Meshicha. When it comes to Jew to non-Jew, so there are two opinions in the Gemara, Amemar and Ravashi. Amemar says Meshicha, Ravashi says Kesef, Maus. And what do we have right now? The proofs for either one. Amemar turned to the Persians as proof that his position is right. Ravashi turned to Rav and Rav's advice to the wine sellers to prove that his position is right. We continue in the Gemara. We're in the middle of Ein Av Amud Beis, Meisve. The Gemara challenges. So let's say you're buying metal. You're going to the scrap pile, and you're buying scraps of metal. And what ends up happening? And then it turns out that you find a piece of scrap metal, and it wasn't scrap metal, but rather it's one of the pieces of metal was a piece of avodah zarah. If, let's say, you didn't give money yet, so it's fine. Just simply hand it back to them. However, let's say you paid already. And after you paid the money, then you took the item. So you took the item, and now you already paid for it, and you took the item. So now you're stuck with the item. You can't sell it back to him. You can't sell it back to him. It's avodah zarah. So you have to take it. Now you have to throw it into the Yam HaMelech. Now, so the Gemara says now, here, where was the line drawn in the sand? Between whether you gave money or whether you didn't give money. First case, you didn't give money. Second case, you did give money. In the first case, you could just simply return it to him. In the second case, you can't return it to him. Sounds like money is the key factor in what creates a kinyan. Now, Abaye says, well, you know it's a mekachtos. Meaning, what happened over here? You went and you bought scrap metal. you weren't expecting to buy an idol. So in other words, quite frankly, this case is the case of Mekach Chaos. Interesting, by the way, the Gemara's language is Mechzei Kemekach Chaos. It looks like a Mekach Chaos. It's more than just looks like. But Amarava Reisha Mekach Chaos Seva Lav Mekach Chaos El Amarava Reisha Vesefa Mekach Chaos. Now, it's a Rava, and Rava says a little bit stronger, of course it's a Mekach Chaos. You wanted to buy scrap metal. You didn't want to buy an idol. In other words, that wasn't your intent. And so in both cases, it's a Mekach Chaos. And quite frankly, in both cases, really, of course, you can return it. Meaning, you didn't want to buy it. Over here, it's an issue of, it looks like Mar Sinai. Meaning, since you paid for it, so now there's the appearance that you bought it. And so it says, from a standpoint of an appearance, so therefore you can't return it. Fundamentally, Rava says, of course you can return it. Meaning, it's a Mekach Chaos. That's not what you wanted to buy. But since you were Moshech and you paid for it, so therefore it's nearer. It looks like that you have Avodas Kochavim in your hand, and that's why you have to get rid of it. So basically what the Gemara is saying is, don't look at that case in terms of ascertaining the basic issue of how Kenyan is done. From that case over there, it's a Mekach Chaos. The sale was voided. It's just from a Mar Sinai standpoint, under certain circumstances, you're kind of stuck with the idol. And therefore you have to get rid of it. Amalei Markeshisha Bredi Rav Chisla Rav Ashi Tashma. So the Gemara says, well, let's consider the following. And now, it's our Mishnah. And here we finally are now going full circle. Meaning, the first the Gemara presents the two opinions of Amalei Rav Ashi, discusses, deliberates, now comes around full circle to our Mishnah. So we turn to our Mishnah, and our Mishnah is talking about how to successfully sell your wine to a non-Jew. And again, we know what the idea is. The idea is that you want the sale to go through before he touches the wine. So the Mishnah says, Pasuk Achilo Madad Damav Mutarim. So if let's say you agree to money and you measured, so then the money is going to be mutar. So the Gemara says, now if you're going to tell me that Mishicha is not Kona, so why should the money be mutar? So the Gemara gives a new kimta in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a case where he fronted you the money. Now the Mishnah doesn't say that, but let's assume that he fronted you the money. So the Gemara says he fronted you the money. So let's go to the next case of the Mishnah. So let's say he measured it, but you didn't agree to a price. But we're going to assume, because every time you give an ukimta in the Mishnah, the ukimta has to be true both in the first and second case of the Mishnah. Let's say he fronted you the money. So he fronted you the money. So then why shouldn't the sale be good? The sale should be fine. If he fronted you the money, so then I don't understand. Sale should have been completed before he touched the wine. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's take your position. Let's say Mashiach is what the Kenyan is. So then I still don't understand the difference between the Reish and the Seifa. Elamayisach lemeimar, pasak samchadaita, lo pasak lo samchadaita. And so what you're going to tell me is very simple. If we didn't agree to a price, so I don't care what he does. He gives you money, he does Mashiach. When all said and done, if you haven't agreed to a price, you can do whatever you want. There's obviously no sale. There can't be a sale if we don't know how much I'm selling it to you for. So the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa is very simple. In the Reisha, we didn't agree to a price. So there was no Smichas Das. There was no consumer confidence that, oh, I'm making a purchase from both sides. Not the buyer is assuming there's no purchase. I don't know how much I'm paying for. The seller also, I don't know how much I'm selling it for. So if we didn't agree to a price, you do whatever you want. There's no sale. Once we agree to a price, so then there's going to be a sale. So, and that will work from either position, either the Mashiach position or the Kesef position. So I'll tell you what, you can learn the Mishnah either way. You can learn the Mishnah as Mashiach, you can learn the Mishnah as Kesef. If it's Kesef, how do you understand the Mishnah? It's very simple. If he first gives you the money, and then he takes the wine from you, in other words, as long as you agree to a price, sale's complete. But if you didn't agree to a price, sale's not complete because there was no Smichas Das. Same thing by Mashiach. By Mashiach, he pulls the item to him. If he didn't agree to a price, sale's not been finalized. I'm Mashiach's Kona, Shikha is only kone when he knows how much he's buying it for. He knows how much he's buying it for. Now there's an understanding between seller and buyer. Buyer now pulls the item. That's a kinyan. But if you don't know how much you're selling it for and you're pulling the item, that's not a kinyan.
If he's pulling it before purchasing it, doesn't it convert into...
If you hold Mashiach's kone, the pulling is the purchasing.
No, but if it's not kone, then does it become like a...
Yain Esach? No, just for handling the barrel, no. In other words, the hand's got to go in the wine. There has to be physical contact between his hand and the wine.
But he's not shaking the barrel?
The Gemara earlier talked about... pouring. Pouring is what Gemara described as being koach. So that's a consideration.
But that shaking was also...
And if it's... Right, if there's space in the bottle and he shakes it, that may be a concern. Maybe I don't... I get the sense from these Gemaras... Right. The sense I get from these Gemaras is that also, in other words, there was no intent to shake it, or something along those lines. Right. In other words, it's very clear from these Gemaras. He's got to put his hand in the actual barrel itself. Okay. All right. Adkan. So let's quickly recap. So what we saw today was a discussion of the army coming into town. Distinction to be made between peacetime, wartime, comparison with the Mishnah Ksuvos. Different type of Yetzirah. Yetzirah for Nisach HaYayin versus the Yetzirah for Avera, for Arayas. We talked about having somebody pay off your taxes using Yayin Esach. As long as you didn't appoint him as a Shliach, and as long as he could have paid with money, so the fact that he paid off with Yayin Esach, that's fine. That the Mishnah says it's fine, the Gemara says it's fine. And the second half of today's daf, which really started with the Mishnah, 9 Aleph and Aleph, is a question of how to make a Kinyan with a Goy. So Machlok is a Meimar and Ravashi. Kinyan is done either according to a Meimar through Mashicha. According to Ravashi, a Kinyan is done through Kesef. The Gemara does not resolve which position is the accepted position. And it's discussed in our Mishnah, because our Mishnah talks about the sale of how to successfully sell your wine to a non-Jew, where the sale precedes him handling the actual wine itself. And there are two ways you can learn the Mishnah, either like a Meimar or like Ravashi. In terms of the halacha, I told you, as we're approaching Pesach, this is like the right daf to learn. So we're going to be selling our chametz over to a non-Jew. So how do you do it? So interesting. If you want to see more on this topic, I'm not going to go through it now, but on the Amud Aleph of today's daf, and with the long Tosfos of Rav Ashi, so Tosfos has a discussion over here in terms of who the halacha follows like, and Tosfos concludes the machlokes between Rashi and his grandson, Rabbeinu Tam, in terms of whether or not we follow like Rav Ashi or we follow like a Meimar. And so he says that when you're making a transaction with a guy, you should do both. Meaning you should do Kesef and you should do Mashiach, as just to be cautious and to make sure that the sale actually goes through.